Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success today. We're speaking with Jody Jackson, an author, researcher, and campaigner. She holds a master's degree in applied positive psychology from the University of East London in the UK, where she investigated the psychological impact of the news. As she discovered evidence of the beneficial effects of solutions-focused news on our well-being, she grew convinced of the need to spread consumer awareness. Her book is called You Are What You Read, Why Changing Your Media Diet Can Change the World. And you gotta love this. And Jody, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're so welcome. Thanks for your time, Jody. So tell us, what inspired you to write the book, You Are What You Read?
I got to the point where I couldn't bear to hear another news story because I found it too depressing. And I was beginning to feel quite hopeless and helpless about the state of the world. And when I stopped watching the news, people labeled my decision as naive, weak, ignorant, or extreme, and it made it seem like I was at fault in some way. So I wanted to research and understand my experience better, and when I did, I quickly came to realize that it wasn't me but the news industry that was at fault. And when I realized this, I realized that it's not about not watching the news, but about consuming it in a different and a more deliberate way, in a way that re-empowers rather than disempowers me. So this book details all of this and helps us understand its impact, as well as help people take greater control over their relationship with the news.
Now tell us, what is solutions journalism for those that aren't familiar?
I'd love to. And when I'm talking about solutions journalism, sometimes it's actually a really useful place to start by saying what it's not, because it has a very fluffy reputation. So what we're not talking about, you know, we're not saying it's lighthearted, uplifting, entertaining, feel-good stories. You know, it's much grittier than that. What we're talking about is rigorous journalism that reports critically on tangible progress being made in order for us to understand how issues are being dealt with. So it's not about replacing the problem. You know, we still learn about the problem, but we also learn about how these problems are being resolved, what people are doing in response to them. We ask what solutions are being put in place, and then we ask if they're working. So it's not about celebrating solutions. It's about reporting on them and showing that they're complex, they're powerful, they're valuable, and they're imperfect. And they're really useful in helping us understand the world more fully.
And certainly appreciate your feedback and input there. Much appreciated. Now, give us a brief summary of your findings in the book and what they suggest about the impact the news has on us today.
Well, the research predominantly focuses on the harmful effects of the negativity bias. And when we talk about this, you know, it's not the effects of watching just one news story about one problem. It's the effects of the continuous and excessive reporting on problems over a long period of time without a balanced understanding of what's being done about them. And the research shows that it can make us feel anxious, pessimistic, and depressed. And these feelings linger even when we switch off from the news because we become so well rehearsed at feeling them. But we can also develop a feeling of helplessness. You know, because we see these problems as being just too big to solve, we actually stop trying to. But we can also be motivated not to help because of an increase in our feelings of contempt and hostility towards other people. Fear is another common response that can help, that can make us withdrawn and unhelpful. Because it's often generated to protect ourselves. And because we become so self-focused, we actually become less concerned about other people and the problems that they may be facing. But we can also stop caring simply because we become desensitized. We become so used to hearing stories of tragedy, crisis, and violence, and so they lose their shock value. And ultimately, we can switch off from the news to try and avoid these feelings. And finding the news too depressing is the biggest reason for audience disengagement. But when we widen the media lens to include solutions, and it's important to highlight that word include, so we're not replacing, we're just including, research participants reported that it gives them balance and perspective and provides better context. And this has been shown to reduce anxiety, increase engagement, improve our mood in the short term, and actually shift our mindset in the long term. And it provides a restorative narrative, which can help restore our faith in humanity. It can improve social cohesion and it builds resilience. But most importantly, learning about solutions can make us feel more empowered. It leads to this thing called active coping, where we actually engage with problems rather than avoid them. And this is primarily because it increases our feelings of hope, optimism, and self-empowerment. So this combination of feelings, it helps us to develop the belief that the future can be better than the past. Not that it will be, but that it can be. And it shows us that our actions are able to make a difference.
Certainly do appreciate the focus and the book, You Are What You Read and What You're Doing Here. This is fantastic. Today we're joined by Jody Jackson, an author, researcher, campaigner, and author of You Are What You Read, Why Changing Your Media Diet Can Change the World, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Jody, continuing on, what do you mean by the negativity bias, and why is this a problem?
Well, in the UK, certainly, and I know in the US, we share a mantra in the newsrooms, if it bleeds, it leads. And the problem with this is it means that the news is not a reflection of everything that goes on. It's actually a reflection of everything that goes wrong. So the news reports on the most extreme stories of problems, wars, corruption, murders, famines, and natural disasters, and it magnifies them. And this becomes all that we see, because at the same time, it minimizes and often ignores stories of solutions, progress, peace building, and development, which leaves us unaware of their existence. And the more we see something, the more common we believe it to be. So in psychology, this is known as the availability theory, how available something is. And similarly, the less we see something, the less common we believe it to be. So this overrepresentation of problems, you know, the negativity bias, along with the underrepresentation of solutions, it leaves us with the impression that the world's broken beyond repair and as if it's in a rapid state of decline. So, you know, fundamentally, this excessive negativity, it leads us to have an incorrect understanding of the world and its conditions, which especially in a democratic society where we're asked to participate, it can really alter our belief systems, how we vote politically, how we behave as part of that society. So it's really important to understand the distorted and somewhat damaging effects that it does have in its success.
Now tell us, what are the benefits of solutions journalism? We touched on what is solutions journalism earlier. Tell us, what are the benefits of solutions journalism?
I mean, the benefits, along with the kind of psychological ones that I've detailed earlier in terms of our emotional response to how we actually engage with the kind of information, fundamentally, it gives us a more accurate understanding of the world. By only reporting on the negative, it kind of magnifies and distorts our vision for what the world is and makes us misinformed about its current condition. Whereas when we widen the media lens to include solutions, and not only that, but you kind of have to widen the actual time frame when you're reporting on an issue. You know, you can't just go in, get the initial impact of the disaster or the tragedy and then leave. You stay there for a little bit longer to actually see what's being done about it. It can actually enable people to have a much deeper appreciation for the problem and a much more accurate understanding of the symptoms of how we got here, the reality of what's existing, and that includes what's being done about the problem as well.
Jody, one last question for you. Why should journalists even care about solutions journalism?
Well, journalists should care because it helps them upkeep their principles as journalists. You know, one of the core functions of a journalist is to hold power to account. And solutions journalism can be a really useful tool in doing that, because where we hear about unresolved problems continuously, we actually become passive observers rather than active participants. You know, we see these problems as acceptable, almost inevitable, and we then don't actually engage with these reports that they're telling us about, because we kind of get bored of them, which sounds terrible, but it's true. It's the kind of adaptation that our mind goes through, and we become less stimulated by the information. But when we see progress taking place, even in a small scale, but if there's a problem that we've previously come to accept, and we see somebody else facing the same issues, being able to forge progress into existence and actually doing something about it, then it puts pressure on governments, on industry, on local community, and even individuals to actually do something about it. It can devote resources to creating development and progress in that area, mainly because we know that it can be done. And so it's a really useful tool as one of their principles to be able to hold power to account. There are many other, you know, from a journalist perspective, there's a really great organization in the U.S. called Solutions Journalism Network that details the kind of benefits as well as the structure of solutions journalism reporting for journalists. But where my work really focuses on is on the consumer. So how it affects us and the decisions and actions that we can take to make sure that we're participating in not only creating for ourselves, but creating and sustaining a more constructive news industry.
Well, Jody, we certainly appreciate what you're doing, the impact you're already having, and for writing the book, You Are What You Read. And where can listeners get more information on you as well as the book, and how can they purchase the book as well? Where's the best place online to get further information?
My website, youarewhatyoureadcom, it has everything on there about the book and about the movement of solutions-focused journalism, as well as a starter kit for if people want to actually start consuming this type of media, where to go. And if you're interested in buying the book, then it's available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and IndieBound, which has a list of all of the independent bookstockists.
And that certainly does work. Again, Jody, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you're certainly welcome. We've been speaking with Jody Jackson, an author, researcher, campaigner, and author of You Are What You Read, Why Changing Your Media Diet Can Change the World. And for further details, visit youarewhatyoureadcom. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.